It's a happy day. My heart feels like an alligator.
Howie Carr writes for the Boston Herald, hosts a daily radio show, one of the most famous men in New England.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
Put your hand on the radio.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
Can somebody shout amen?
It's Howie Carr.
Howie must not have got the memo that people are putting their hand on the Quran these days, Jared. You might want to let him know what's happening in New York City so you can see the Mamdani of it all. Oh, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, sitting in for Howie on this first show, first live show, because there was a best of episode yesterday. The first live show of 2026. Happy New Year, one and all. Except maybe Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is why AOC says that, how do you say his name, Jared?
Zohran
was elected. Cut five.
We have chosen instead to turn towards making a new future for all of us. In Zohran Mamdani, we have chosen a mayor who is relentlessly dedicated to making life not just possible, but aspirational for working people. New York City has chosen the ambitious pursuit of universal child care, affordable rent and housing, and clean and dignified public transit for all. And we have chosen that over the distractions of bigotry and the barbarism of extreme income inequality. We have chosen this path because we know that it's the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do, and that if we can make it here, we can make it anywhere.
Ugh, I can't even. You know, if you think about it, in Minnesota, correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry, but I don't think the child care there is universal, is it? It's just like there was a program that was targeted for a small segment of the population.
Yeah.
So it's a small targeted program, and they were able to steal how many billions of dollars? When it's universal, and it's in New York City, which New York City has, so I think, what did we say, Minnesota has how many people? Like, I don't remember the number, but I think New York City has a bigger population than the whole state of Minnesota. So you're going to have the opportunity with universal healthcare. Think about the billions of dollars that could be sent back to Somalia once universal healthcare, or Kenya, or Gaza. I mean, that's where this money is going to end up. There's supposed to be these free giveaways that benefit the people of America, the people of New York, the people of Minnesota. But we know where the dollars are really going to go. Oh, here we go. Here's a good one from AOC. Cut six.
Zohran Mamdani will be the first Muslim mayor of our great city. He will be our first immigrant mayor in over a century. And he will be the youngest mayor of New York City in generations. But most importantly, Zohran will be a mayor for all of us. With that, let us extend our deepest well wishes and support to Zohran, his wife Rama, and his family, as well as those of our public advocate Jumani Williams and controller Mark Levine.
Mark Levine is the controller? Oh, no, the other Mark Levine. Yeah, there's a number of stories. I'm going to read this one from the New York Post that was posted back in July. She's hardly the first one to bring this up. But it says, Sandy Cortez from The Burbs, a patronizing poser. The author says that she has something in common with the woman presently known as AOC because this author also started life in the Bronx. When she was 5 years old, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's family moved to a middle-class life in Westchester County, something she's attempted to hide with her suspicious origin story. The lefty congresswoman claims to have helped her mother clean houses in the meager Bronx. Gone, too, was her childhood nickname, Sandy. She was Sandy Cortez, but ultimately, she went back to the more conveniently ethnic-sounding moniker, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Alexandria from the block, she's not. Sandy Cortez grew up in comfortable Yorktown Heights. The whole story, the whole Sandy from the Burbs versus Alexandria from the Bronx is like a big caricature. It's why she has to overemphasize the pronunciation of cut 6A.
Zohran.
I mean, she has to lean into this because she's invented this persona, this personality, this caricature. She's playing a role, and she's playing a role to achieve her own ends. This is all about her. Sorry, Limerick guy texted and said, stop playing the AOC cuts. He's running out of Advil. Did you hear, by the way, did you see this? So doctors recommend that you take aspirin, or they used to, for heart disease. And I haven't read the Wall Street Journal story, but there's a Wall Street Journal story that they sat down with Trump to talk to him about his health. And he went on this big rant about taking aspirin. And he said that he takes three times what the doctors prescribe, that they recommend. He goes, because it thins your blood. And he wants to have the thinnest blood possible to pump the most blood through his heart. But the guy doesn't sleep. But yeah, apparently Trump is big on aspirin. Did you know he was a big aspirin taker?
I did not know that.
I mean, he must, probably because of his diet, probably because he eats all that McDonald's. He's like really worried about having a heart attack. So he's like, oh, if I take extra aspirin, it'll extra like help with the like McDonald's diet. He's going to talk to, at least he's not taking Tylenol, but he should talk to Bobby Kennedy about how much, or maybe Dr. Oz. Maybe Dr. Oz can straighten out how much aspirin Trump is taking. 844-500-4242. To the phone lines we go, and we'll talk to Joseph. Joseph, you're on the Howie Carr Show.
Are you talking to me?
I must be talking to you. All right. 844-500-4242. 401 says, Aaron, to paraphrase Margaret Thatcher, eventually Zohran will run out of other people's money. Yeah, there's no amount of other people's money that they don't want to spend. AOC says that Zohran is the first Muslim mayor of New York City, but she believes he's going to be a mayor for all. Maybe a mayor for all. You know who else has high hopes for Zohran? You know who it is, Jared?
I don't.
The one woman who's wrong about everything. Abby Phillip, cut 9.
Mamdani is not the boogeyman that Trump thought he was going to be. And I don't know that he's going to be sort of something that Republicans can use to attack Democrats.
Zohran is not the boogeyman that the Republicans thought that he was. I don't know. Why are we thinking that Zohran is going to be bad? Says Abby Phillip. And she's not wrong. Like the caller said, that, populism wins elections. Populism wins elections. And so, yeah, populism, he's saying stuff. But is he, and is it maybe too soon, Abby Phillip, to declare that he's a success? Thank God for Scott Jennings. And thank God for Scott Jennings being on the panel, because he's able to kind of speak some sense to the misguided Abby Phillip. Cut 10.
Well, we'll see. I mean, he hasn't started yet. You know, he's going to take office, and he's probably going to run into trouble with the governor on some issues. He's going to run into trouble with the state assembly. He might run into trouble with his own city council. He might find that governing is a lot harder than campaigning. A lot of first-timers do. And so, you know, we'll see whether he can competently administer the city. We don't know yet. He's going to get to take office, and he gets the same chance everybody else does that wins an election. So is he a boogeyman? I don't know. It might be that he's the most disastrous mayor the city's ever elected, and then it'll be proof that Democrats elect incompetent socialists, and he will be a boogeyman. If he does well and he brings people together, then he won't be. So I guess it's a little premature to know, because we haven't seen the results yet.
We haven't seen the results yet. Maybe he will be a boogeyman. Maybe we'll see what happens in New York and we'll draw lessons from that. Notice that, like, what they said with Trump on day one, he said he would do this and he would do that. And they kept coming after him, On day one from Mamdani, they're like, see, he's normal. He's great. Pay no attention to him hanging out with Letitia James and him lurking in the underground tunnels for his first swearing in. I just find that weird. Someone said that it's the old platforms that they mostly use them for like movie backdrops and movie sets now. And, you know, Times Square is busy for the ball drop, and so it's a great place to do it. I mean, I don't know. There's something about this underground thing that really rubs me the wrong way. 844-500-4242. All right, let's try again with Joseph. Joseph, you're back on the air with Aaron Chadbourne.
You got me on this time. I'm glad. Thank you for taking my call. I've never talked to you before. I'm disappointed in this man. We don't need Muslim mayors. We need American mayors. You don't go over there and do that over there. You can't even build a church over there. So I hope that New York learns before it's too late. I'd like your comments, and I'm really disappointed in this man, what he's been talking about. I agree. People are leaving. People are very upset, and I'd like your comments on it. We don't need him in our country. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You know who could say it better than me that has a better response for you is our good friend Elon Musk. This is a couple months ago, I think right before the election. This is what our friend Elon Musk had to say about that very, very question that you asked, James. Cut 11.
I mean, Mamdani is a charismatic swindler. I mean, you got to hand it to him. Like he can light up a stage, but he has just been a swindler his entire life. I think he's likely to win. He's likely to be mayor of New York City.
Very likely.
Yeah, very likely.
I think Polymarket has it at what? What is the 94%?
Yeah, that sounds pretty likely.
That's crazy.
Like, I'm not sure who this.
Yeah, so he's a charismatic swindler. I think that's the best way to look at what he is. Charismatic swindler. He's trying to make it sound like there's going to be all the what was the first quote? Go ahead, give me it again. Cut one.
We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism.
Replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. My friend Heidi texted me. She said, we need to gather up an army of frigid individuals to ice out his warm and fuzzies. I agree with that. I think that's a good plan. 844-500-4242. More Howie Carr Show when we come back. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to revisit what's happening in Minnesota. We're going to figure out, is there more fraud? Where might it be? Is anyone paying attention? Is anyone looking? We're going to get to the bottom of what's actually happening in Minnesota, because Donald Trump, the Trump administration, is not going to stand for it. Now that people know, we're going to find the fraud, not just in the daycares, but in any part where federal money is going. And before we go to break, I want to tell you, you still have time where you can get on board and join Toby Leary for the September trip to Spectacular Scotland with Colette. It's September 21st. You can visit the historic capital of Edinburgh with its famous castle and the Victorian city of Glasgow. Visit the National Bagpipe Center for a lesson with a renowned piper, have a special cooking experience, and enjoy a taste or two at a historic whiskey distillery. Journey to the legendary Isle of Skye and the amazing Orkney Islands. Plus, cruise on the lovely Loch Ness in the unspoiled landscapes of the Highlands. You can do all this and so much more. Colette will handle all the details, the flights, the meals, the hotels, and the local experiences, while your only job is to have the time of your life. So don't miss out. To join Toby in this incredible trip to Scotland, call Colette at 800-581-8942 or go to howiecarshow.com and click the banner to learn more. That number again is 800-581-8942. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, sitting in for Howie. Thanks for being with us. 844-500-4242. The number to call if you want to join the conversation. Press 2 for the chump line. Hey, it's Friday. It's the last chump line of the week. Make it a good one. Call us in. Can't wait to hear from you. 844-500-4242. Let's do the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Howie had his last appointment of the year at Perfect Smiles before he left for Florida, and it's a good thing he did, as he had two more cavities that needed to be filled. Howie only goes to Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. It's so worth the trip. Visit them today at perfectsmiles.com or call them at 603-595-6699. Jared, what is today's poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at howiecarshow.com, is what do you think is the most likely prediction for 2026? Republicans keep control of the House and Senate. Trump wins the Nobel Peace Prize. End of the Ukraine war, another government shutdown, or Trump invokes the Insurrection Act?
This is a hard one because, I mean, let's rule some out. It's easier to rule them out than it is to rule them in. So I think, first of all, in order for Trump to win the Nobel Peace Prize, which I don't think it's out of the question that before the end of term two that he'll do it. But I don't think that he's going to end the war in Ukraine this year. I wish he did. I wish he did it on day one, but there's kind of this complicated calculus that I've listened to, and I think it makes sense. And actually, Zelensky's talked about it a bit too, which is that right now, Russia is still making advances. They're still taking more land. And as long as Russia is still taking more land, they don't want to negotiate an end to the war because they think they can get more out of it if they keep fighting. They're taking land by force. They're taking population centers, cities by force. And so Russia thinks that they have more to gain by continuing the war than they do to end it. And it's really Russia that started this thing. It's going to have to be Russia that agrees to stop it. So I don't think the war is ending until that. But Zelensky was saying that with their drones and with everything else, they've started killing more Russians. And there will come a tipping point where Russia isn't able to sacrifice more people or they don't think they're getting more land. And that's going to be the point at which Russia's going to come to the table. And so I just don't think that's happening this year. I mean, we're out of the big fighting season because it's winter. I think the fighting season is coming. They're going to have another one. And so I don't think the war is going to end because the war won't end. I don't think Trump gets the Nobel Peace Prize this year. If he negotiates an end of the war, whenever it is, I do think it could happen. It just depends on what Trump's role is. And I think people's heads will explode and the left is going to be all mad. But again, if he's able to pull it off, I think he gets it. So then the next one, Republicans keeping control of the House and Senate. I think the talks of the blue wave or whatever that you know, Mamdani and that election in Virginia was meant to signify, I think that's overblown because I think there are going to be some positive signs in the economy that come from the big, beautiful bill and actually taking effect. And I think by the time that people are filing their taxes in April, May, I think June, that's the time I think we're going to be feeling positivity about the economy. Interest rates are down. It came out on New Year's Eve that interest rates for the 30-year fixed mortgage were at the lowest point they'd been all year. I think we're heading in the right direction on the economy. So that could help Republicans keep the majority. I do think that Trump is likely to invoke the Insurrection Act. I think he just said it when he pulled the National Guard back. He said, I'm calling them back now, but if things get worse, I'll bring them back and I'll bring them back in a different way. And he means Insurrection Act. So he's prepared to do it. But again, I don't think he'll do that before the midterms. I don't think he's going to want to affect the elections. I think he'll wait. I think he'll wait until after the midterm. I think that means he waits until 2027 before he would do something like that. So I think the most likely is going to be another government shutdown, because when they funded the government, they only funded it to the beginning of January. And the Democrats, they think they got something out of this last shutdown. And once they shut it down, now they're addicted to it. It's the only thing that makes them relevant, the only thing that made them think they could win. And I don't see any pathway toward the parties working together. So I think another government shutdown because they want to mess with Trump.
Yeah, 65% of the audience agrees another government shutdown is the most likely prediction for 2026. Second place is Republicans keeping control of the House and Senate at 19%, 8% for invoking the Insurrection Act, 6% for the end of the Ukraine war, and 2% now for Trump winning the Nobel Peace Prize.
Do you think the Ukraine war is going to end this year?
I don't think so.
I don't see it.
Like, I mean, Russia kind of has to be ready, and they don't seem ready.
The only way I think it would end sooner is if the U.S. amped up its military involvement and, like, we actually directly got involved. I don't think we should do that. I don't think Trump is going to do that. I don't think Trump should do that. I think that's the only thing that could change the dynamic and make it end sooner is if there were bigger losses to the Russians and they weren't gaining anything. So I think there is the thing that could make it happen is if Putin did something that Trump saw as a betrayal and he was had to answer with military force. But absent that, I don't see it happening. More Howie Carr Show when we come back. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I want to talk about Tim Walz in Minnesota, but I know someone called in. They want to talk about what we were saying in the last segment. So let's go to the phone lines first, then we'll turn our attention to Minnesota. Let's go and talk to Phil. Phil, you're on the Howie Carr Show with Aaron Chadbourne.
Aaron, how are you, buddy?
Good. What's up, Phil?
Listen, I never miss when you fill in. You're a great host. So
appreciate
let's
it.
Talk about Russia for a minute.
Yep.
So if you go back to the real beginning of this thing, what was it that Vladimir Putin had a problem with Zelensky, and picture Joe Biden standing off in the corner? Yep. What was it that was his red line? What was Putin's red line?
Putin didn't want any more expansion of NATO, which the U.S. has already violated.
Bingo. Yep. And that was his thing. And Zelensky kept pushing it. And Biden turned around and backed it. So in all honesty, it's Biden's war. Biden started it. And Zelensky is just playing into the U.S. is giving me money. You know, to be honest with you, I can't blame Vladimir Putin for, you know, putting his neck out and let's keep going. You know, there's a clear demarcation line that this guy wants, and he wants that Donbass region. He wants the Crimea, and I don't blame him because he's just looking to institute a buffer against NATO.
I mean, maybe. I think like there's a little bit to that, but if you look at what Putin has written and what he has said publicly, he's been pretty outspoken about his desire to, I mean, I would charitably call it reunify the Soviet Union and bring it back under Russian control. He sees one of the greatest defeats of whatever happened was the fact that there was the fall of the Soviet Union and that these countries were able to splinter off and become independent. And so his real goal, no matter what has happened, is his goal has been to get them back and have these ethnic Russians once again under his control and under the control of Russia. He sees it as a big failure of history and a black eye on the Russian people, the fact that they lost, that the Soviet Union dissolved. And so he really wants to do it. And I don't take Putin generally at his word. I think he looks for any excuse. And did Joe Biden give him justification? Absolutely. And not only that, more even important than the crossing of the red line, I think without the botched withdrawal of Afghanistan, that was the signal to Putin and to Xi Jinping and to anyone else that the U.S. was incompetent and that you could do things without consequence. I think without the botched withdrawal of Afghanistan, that the war in Ukraine wouldn't have happened, or maybe it wouldn't have happened then, but that was the signal to them. I also think that without the Biden mishandling of Afghanistan, I don't think you would have seen October 6th. I don't think that attack happens if you don't see the ineptitude of the Biden administration. And I think the day that sent the signal to the world that the U.S. is not in control anymore and they can't stand up to us was that. So I don't know. I don't know that Putin needed the excuse. I think he was going to look for anything. I think if you look at some of the propaganda that Putin's put out, he makes all kinds of stuff up. I do not think that the Ukrainians are blameless. I do not think that the Ukrainians are more important than Americans. I do not think that the American people should be paying for their pensions. I do not think that we should be writing them blank checks. I do not think we should turn a blind eye to the corruption, which Bret Baier, good for him, and you know, he's been kind of a mouthpiece for Zelensky in this. He gives him a platform, and I think these foreign leaders know that Trump watches Fox News, which he does, and Trump acknowledges that he does. But he Bret Baier asked about the corruption, which I think is very important. But by the same token, I think Russia is taking land by force, which is a principle that I think like at this day and age, like is no longer how things work. You can do it peacefully. You can negotiate. But if you're going to war and you're having to take over a new people by force, like, no, that's where I draw the line. But thanks for the call, Phil. Appreciate the perspective. 844-500-4242. I was going to go to Tim Walz. Yeah, let's stick with Tim Walz. So Tim Walz, actually, President Trump himself was talking about Tim Walz and all the fraud in Minnesota, and he was talking about it on New Year's Eve. He was holding his New Year's Eve party at Mar-a-Lago, which there was a headline.
Mar-a-Lago!
I saw this headline this morning, and I didn't have time to look into the story. Maybe you've looked into it, Jared, but they were talking about the fact that Kristi Noem and Stephen Miller were dancing together to Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice. See if you can find it. I think Katie That's Miller fantastic. Posted the video. I think Katie Miller posted the video of it. See if you can find it. But it's Kristi Noem dancing to Ice Ice Baby, and everyone's like, "Oh, she's partying at Mar-a-Lago when all these people are incarcerated." It's like, "Yep, don't break the law." But Trump gave a few remarks at his New Year's Eve party. Here's a little of what he had to say. Cut 15.
We want to take back our country. Can you imagine? They stole $18 billion. That's just what we're learning about. That's peanuts. And California is worse. Illinois is worse. And sadly, New York is worse. A lot of other places. So we're going to get to the bottom of all of it. It was a giant scam. Other than that, we're going to have a great New Year. I view that as a reason for a good year, because we're going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to get that money back. It's all coming back.
It's all coming back. We're going to get to the bottom of it. Caroline Leavitt was asked, like, are you worried that this is happening in other states? Are you looking at other states? And she said, absolutely. Cut 16.
Are other states on your radar? There's been a lot of rumblings about similar things happening in other states. Ohio also being mentioned. What's next, and what other states are you going to be looking at shortly?
Oh, yes. Right now, Minnesota is at the top of the list. But we know there has been massive fraud in blue states across this country. Look at California. Look at New York. These states will all be under investigation and consideration as far as this administration is concerned. And again, just to remind your audience, cutting waste, fraud, and abuse from the federal bureaucracy is something that this president and administration has been focused on from day one. Look at USAID. It was a corrupt program that this administration shut down at the Department of State to save the American taxpayer money. And so we're not going to stop doing that. And anybody who has been ripping off American taxpayers will be held to the fullest extent of the law as long as this president is in charge.
And that's what people want to see. They want anyone that's been ripping off these taxpayer-funded programs to be held accountable. That's what we want. We know that it's widespread. We know that it's in other states. We know what's been going on in California and in Maine and in Minnesota. And we want to know why there haven't been consequences. And there have been some. There have been some indictments. There have been some fraud charges. But they try to say, oh, it's small, it's measured. But that's, I mean, we know what's happening elsewhere. And you know how we know what's happening elsewhere? Because they've started to look into it. They've started to look into it in places like HUD with housing. Cut 20.
From HUD's standpoint, you know, we have boots on the ground right now. We have investigators that are making sure that any HUD-funded programs in Minnesota are be carried out appropriately. Also, we just launched an investigation into housing authorities, public housing authorities there in Minnesota. They receive about $108 million in Minneapolis and also about $46 million in public housing assistance there. So we want to make sure that we're being good stewards over taxpayer money. So these investigations are going on right now from a HUD standpoint. And to the president's point, we have to root out this fraud and abuse and this waste, because this is hardworking American taxpayer funds, and there's been criminal activity going on. And so we have to root it out and continue to enforce the law.
We have to root it out. We have to get to the bottom of it. We have to get to the bottom of what was happening. We have to get to the bottom of every single program, every single dollar. And that's the whole thing about these government programs, making them universal like they're doing in New York, is that the more that you're getting out the door, whether it's COVID-related funds that are relating to business losses and job losses, whether it's universal health care and child care. This is what Tim Walz originally had to say about the new, and is Minnesota has a new family leave program, right, Jared?
Yeah.
It's Maine just passed the same thing. They just put it in. And by the way, here's the fun thing in Maine. They passed it in Maine. Janet Mills, to her credit, was originally opposing it. So she was saying, no, I said there'd be no new taxes. The Democrats in Maine said, we're going to put in a paid family leave plan and we'll do it with a new payroll tax. Janet said, I said no new taxes. They said, we don't care. They said, if you veto it, we're going to go pass it by referendum and we're going to tell everyone that you hate the Maine people. So Janet Mills backed down. She let them pass it. And tried to like negotiate and make it better. So they put it into effect. You know what they started doing? They actually just implemented the tax last year, but no one's eligible for the program. So we're going to tax it for a while, collect all this money. They said you're supposed to be exempt if you're an employer and you offer paid family leave already, you could be exempt, but they didn't have any definitions of what it meant to offer it. So even the places that had family leave programs had to pay the tax until such a time that the bureaucrats could write a definition to say, like, it's a mess, it's a scam, but it's all money going in because then money goes out. And when lots of money is going out, it's hard to find the fraud, the waste, and abuse. And so you hear Tim Walz talk about all these programs like they're the golden goose, that they're going to be the biggest thing, the best thing running. Here he's talking about them. Cut number 12.
Insurance program for you that allows you again to take care of what you need to take care of without being forced to choose between your family, your bonding with your child, your own health, and your economic well-being. Because in Minnesota, you can do both.
Yeah. You know how you can provide for your economic well-being in Minnesota? You provide for your economic well-being by running a fake daycare and getting paid not to take care of kids. That's how you can do it. Then you can send your dollars back to Jubaland and raise up your militia and run for president. I mean, we want the programs, if they're going to exist, we want them to actually benefit the law-abiding citizens, the people who have been here and worked here. That's why we get so frustrated when we see affordable housing built in Brunswick, Maine, that's all for new arrivals because we need to get them out of the homeless shelters, when we have homeless veterans who have been chronically homeless that are on wait lists that are not getting the services. Here's what Stephen Miller, we talked about him dancing at New Year's Eve. Here's what he had to say. Cut 22.
Based on what we have found so far, we believe that the Somali fraud operation in Minnesota is the single greatest theft of taxpayer dollars through welfare fraud in American history. We believe that we have only scratched the very top of the surface of how deep this goes. And you're familiar with all the scams with pretending that children have autism who are not in fact autistic, with pretending to enroll people in food programs when in fact nobody was ever enrolled, and engaging in massive fraud, lying, and theft and grift on a scale we've never seen before in American history. The total bill, the total tab for this is going to be far beyond the numbers we've already seen reported. We believe the state government is fully complicit in this scheme, and we believe that what we are going to uncover is going to shock the American people. Look, based on the records that we already have, and this is a significant undercount, by the way, 75% of the Somali population in Minnesota is on welfare. But that's likely a significant undercount of just how much of a financial burden the Somali refugee population is imposing
on this
country.
Think about that. 70% on welfare? 70%. That's what they want. But they want to tell you that this is a very important population and that they're all contributing and that they all have jobs and they're part of the workforce. If that's the case, why are they all on welfare? And if you look at the stories, so what will happen is they'll publish stories that talk about the numbers. They'll say this many are employed. They contribute this much to the production. This is how much they're doing. But they leave out what part of the population is actually consuming benefits, how much more that they're taking in benefits than they're paying in taxes. And that's the whole thing. When did it become the job of Americans who've been here their whole lives, that have worked hard, that paid in the system, when did it become their job to provide welfare to the world, to have the world come in, take advantage, and not be content with just what they're getting in terms of welfare, but then to have to commit massive acts of fraud that we've never seen before? There's a lot going on in Maine, too, and I want to bring that story to you. And we'll do it at the 4 o'clock hour when we speak with Representative Billy Bob Fockingham. He's the Republican leader in the House in Maine. He'll talk to us about the developments going on with the Gateway Center in Lewiston. So we'll talk to him about that, and we'll see a little bit more. Because the billing that they're doing there, right, they're billing for interpreter services where there aren't even interpreters. It's the same kind of thing Stephen Miller's talking about. There are two ways to put a smile on your face. A visit to Perfect Smiles and leaving their office in tax-free New Hampshire with a new copy of Howie's book, Mass Corruption. Right now, when you buy an appointment by the end of the year, book an appointment. When you book an appointment by the end of the year, you will receive Howie's newest book for free. Maybe you have a wedding coming up, like listener Maureen from Hudson, New Hampshire. She's a new patient of Dr. Tam's and just had a full smile makeover. She was so happy she went to him and is excited about the way that she'll look for a big day. I thought he was going to say that you have a wedding coming up, you can get Howie's book and give it as a wedding gift. I think Mass Corruption would be a great wedding gift. What better thing to do on your honeymoon than read about Mass Corruption Volume 1, The Cops? Do you have a special event coming up and you want to look your best? Or do you just want a big boost in confidence? If yes, then call the team at Perfect Smiles. From Lori for cleaning to Dr. Tam for smiles and Dr. Sai for implants, their staff is first rate and you won't be disappointed. A smile makeover can take years, if not a full decade, off how you look. Grace goes to Dr. Tam for her Invisalign. That can really help with TMJ too. Conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire, visit them today at PerfectSmiles.com and see the before and after video that Howie has on the site. Or you could call them at 603-595-6699. When you change your smile, you change your life. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Watch the show live.
Soundwave Dispatch Rumble.
At rumble.com/The Howie Carr Show.
Rumble. Activate.
Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Howie, 844-500-4242-603. Aaron, the administration said that Minnesota payments will no longer be rubber stamped. Wait, isn't rubber stamping a dereliction of duty to verify who gets terminated? Yeah, exactly. It should be. It should be. But that's what Elon Musk was talking about. All these fraudulent payments going out that Doge was noticing. They flagged it. We knew this was happening. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Mr. Garcia. What's up, Mr. Garcia?
Hey, how you doing? Happy New Year. I want to ask you a question. I wonder if you can say yes or no. We have president is Republican, right? We have senator control as a Republican, and Congress is control as a Republican. I go to Tennessee to visit my friend. It's terrible. Some area, go people live poor area, a terrible road, housing. Go people live in the trailer room and trailer, and Republican not sending money to help us a Republican state. And we give it all the California, New York, and Minnesota, we give it all the money for them. And what happened to all the red states? Come on. It's very disgusting. And it's not right. Why are we giving all California skimming our money?
Yeah, not only that, a lot of these blue cities, the blue states that have all the homeless encampments, Mr. Garcia, thankfully a lot of those are over. But it's funny that no matter how much of your money they take, it never seems to improve the roads and the infrastructure. But yet, those NGOs seem to get their hands on it.
Why the Republican never help the own people, the red state? Right now, we have the control to help more the red state. You know, the red state live very terrible. Some areas live dust and very disgrace. No road, no nothing, everything dead. And it's very disgrace. And we give it all New York and New Jersey, where I live. We give it all the money. We should not give it all our money. We should help the red state, because I never understand why. I'm very crazy, angry. Why we give everything to the blue state? Why?
Yeah, I know. I think we should take it back, and I think he's starting to. I think we're going to see more and more times that Trump's going to turn off the spigot, and you're going to see that happening to the blue states. Thanks for the call, Mr. Garcia. Always a pleasure. That's all the time we have for this segment. We'll come back with Representative Billy Bob Falkingham from Maine, bringing you the update on Lewiston and Deca DeLock. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. This is the Howie Carr Show.
The big butt, no more butt.